Destination unknown. Telegraph messenger all alone. Can't get no connection. Can't get through. Where are you?
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen, and I can't stop it. Welcome, everyone. Jim Slinsky here, Outdoor Talk Network, and I'm smiling. I am smiling. Of course, what I'm referring to is this burning desire to start fishing. That's what I'm talking about. You know, it's just one of those things. I don't know if it's instinctive, it's a bad habit, or what it is, but, you know, hunting seasons are winding down. Of course, there's a couple of southern states. I believe Alabama might be open for deer hunting until the end of January is what they have down there. And, of course, if you're a coyote hunter, a winter coyote hunter, you can certainly go out for coyotes, or you go down south for hogs, go to Florida and so on. These types of things are out west. You know, they have their winter sports out west, winter hunting. But basically, it's that time of the year that, you know, you start thinking about spring fishing, and we're in the doldrums, and the snow is on the ground, and it's colder than a well digger's backside out there. And I don't know, it's just happening to me. It just happens every year this time, and it's just one of those things I can't put my finger on. And as a matter of fact, the other night I was trying to tie some flies. I went and looked at my fly stuff, and oh boy, you know, I need about $200 worth of stuff again. I mean, this fly tying, reloading, you know, working on the guns, the rods, the reels, it's like a money pit. I mean, it just never ends. You always need more stuff, new stuff. They're always coming out with new stuff that, you know, you need to build up your collection and make yourself more efficient and have more fun. At least that's the belief, and it's time to spend some money. it's always about money. But we got a great guest. We'll do some launching here the fishing season. Don Miller is going to join us, and Don is a guide. He's a muskie guide on Lake St. Clair in eastern Michigan, and I know him. I talked to him a few years ago. I don't believe we ever did a show, but he does something unique. He trolls for muskie, you know, the unique and fantastic and romantic muskies. I mean, that's just the king of freshwater is the muskie, and Don is very successful at this. He's got a system. He's been doing it for years, and I've asked him to join us and tell us all about it. I want to get your juices flowing. I want to get you pumped up. I want it to come out of you, and I hope it you can't stop it either. But I'll start some music. We'll go to break. We'll come back. Don Miller's his name. Do a great show about muskie fishing, all the techniques and how he does it. And they're getting 40 and 50 pounders in this Lake St. Clair. This is unbelievable. See you in a few. You would think after 90 years of optical excellence, Nikon would rest on their achievements. Not a chance. For 2008, Nikon continues their toughest, most innovative, and highly refined optical gear ever, with something for every hunter and every hunting style. Take the completely redesigned Monarch rifle scope with its advanced iBox technology, delivering an impressive 4x zoom range and a constant 4 inches of eye relief. Nikon's Omega 250 BDC bullet drop compensating muzzle loading scopes have been so successful, this year Nikon introduced the Slughunter BDC 200, destined to become another classic. With laser rangefinders, titanium scopes, handgun scopes, Buckmaster and Pro Staff scopes, 16 different binocular lines, and premium spotting scopes, you can see why Nikon has something for every hunter and every hunting style. Check out a Nikon rifle scope today and see why experienced hunters choose Nikon. Legacy Sports International is out front again with their Escort line of semi-auto, pump, and over-and-under shotguns. Escort shotguns are designed to incorporate all the features of expensive European shotguns at an incredible price. And new for 2007, you can choose select Turkish walnut wood for a stunning firearm. Escort semi-autos are well-balanced, recoil-absorbing, and can handle anything from light target to heavy magnum loads. Their pump-action shotguns are perfect for hunting. Both are available in blued or camo, ventilated rib, and multi-chokes. And their new over-and-under shotguns are a thing of beauty and function, available in blued, silver, select Turkish walnut, or a synthetic stock that comes with an adjustable comb. All Escort models come with a Trio recoil pad. Legacy Sports International, once again, is bringing you the finest firearms at affordable prices. See your dealer today, or check their website at www.legacysports.com. There is a company in Texas quietly building premium performance firearms for competition, duty, and self-defense, STI International. Creating firearms at the highest level, STI builds 15 different single-stack pistols based on the famous 1911 45 semi-auto. These are quality, innovative pistols with patented features made entirely in the USA. And STI continues the evolution of the 1911 with 13 additional double-stack pistols, appropriately named the 2011 Double Stack. These are tactical, target, and concealed carry firearms built on a patented modular steel frame. And new for this year is their GP6, a single and double-action polymer compact in 9mm Luger. Check out their website at STIGuns.com for a full appreciation of their unique product line. STI International, building firearms at the highest level.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year.
Can't go wrong with Frank, just love it. Welcome back, everyone. Jim Slinsky, Outdoor Talk Network. Don Miller is my guest, and I know him. I chatted with him over the years. And, Don, thanks a lot for your time, and welcome to the Outdoor Talk Network.
You're welcome, Jim. It's good to be here.
Yeah, no, you're a good guy. I talked to you before. You are a fisherman. No doubt about that. And where you operate just intrigues me. But tell us a little bit about Don Miller. How did you get into the fishing business? How did this all come to be?
Well, I started going down to Lake St. Clair because located in the southeastern portion of the state because it was close to my house, and I started walleye fishing in the lake, and I was losing a lot of walleye baits near to other things that were unbeknown to me at the time when I was a youngster. And I was reading more about the fish that were in the lake, and I discovered that there were muskies in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked not only the walleye fishing that the lake had, but I had to find out what this fish was that was taking my stuff away from me, so I started fishing for it and studying up a little bit and started hooking into muskies down there. It wasn't as common back then as it is today, but over the years, it's really progressed in one of the better muskie fisheries, I think, in this part of the country.
Oh, probably the whole country. Well, go ahead, plug your business. What is your website? What's the name of the business?
Well, the URL is www.millers, M-I-L-L-E-R-S, -sportfishing.com.
Okay.
And I've been fishing muskies professionally for probably a little longer than 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And throughout probably 40 years overall. And I started, you know, by just taking people fishing,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, of course, you know, everybody likes to jump on a boat and go and spend the day out there, but I was getting pretty profound at catching muskies for people because I was reading and understanding that these were just not the ordinary fish that anybody wanted to go after because they were such a challenge.
Sure.
And to most fishermen, they consider their fishing career a success if they can just get one in their lifetime.
All right. Well,
in a lot of places. So.
All right.
And it was getting to be pretty good there.
I'm kind of launching the fishing season here. You know, we're going through that transition period here and so forth. And am I calling you in Michigan right now?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, what town? Where are you from?
I'm residing over by the Ann Arbor, Michigan area.
Ann Arbor area? Okay. And have you always lived there, or have you lived across the state?
Well, I haven't lived across the state, but I've lived closer to Lake St. Clair. But my family is around here in the Ann Arbor area, so I reside here and commute into the lake each day in the summer.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Tell me, from when you were a kid to now, has the lake changed much? What you know, is it developed? Is it overfished? Is it underfished? Is it untouched? What's really happened there, Don, in your opinion?
Well, I think that there's more pressure on the fish today than what there was years ago, because everybody wanted to go catch a muskie, but nobody wanted to put the time or effort into it back when I started to really say you were going on out and trying to catch them. But over the years, the fishery has gotten much better because everybody's in the catch and release there, and it's practiced abundantly even by the novices and professionals alike.
Yeah,
because of the age of the fish being 18 to 35 years old that you'd like to catch, and the state DNR fish biologists over here say that you're really not supposed to consume over 2 fish dinners per week. So, and I was raised that you don't really want to kill anything that you don't want to eat.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right. And muskies never were, considered table fare. They were always, I'm sure there's people who ate them over the years, but they always considered as a true trophy fish, even something that met the minimum size limit.
Sure.
They were just considered trophies. You just don't eat them.
Absolutely. I mean, the age of the fish doesn't even sexually get mature over here until it gets to be an 8 to 10-year-old fish, which would mean that it doesn't reproduce until it gets to be that old, which is roughly a 38 to 42-inch long fish.
All right, so that was my next question. An 8 to 10-year-old fish is how old, how long?
38 to 42 inches.
38 to 42 inches. And these big fish, these big 50-inchers, they always talk about 50s, 50-inchers and 50-pounders. I mean, how old are these fish?
I would say that in my findings with the fish biologist and the DNR and from what I've seen in the Michigan State University fish biologist there, the age of the supersizers are probably ranging anywhere between, I'm going to say, 15 to about 23 to 27, maybe, years old, somewhere
wow.
in there. After that, they're just like people. They start going downhill. I've caught some 54-inch fish that were literally snakes and weighed 19, 20 pounds.
Okay.
You know? Which, and
okay.
They
right.
were just...
Yes, slender and in the twilight of their life, so to speak.
Right.
But we'll be back. Don Miller's his name, www.millers.sportsfishing.com is the place to go. See you in a few.
Remember when I was young.
The nation's leading custom rifle manufacturer is without question Jarrett Rifles in Jackson, South Carolina. For 25 years, Kenny Jarrett has been producing the most accurate hunting rifles any man's money can buy. Jarrett manufactures the barrel, the action, and the stock. Jarrett Rifles are guaranteed to shoot 1/2 minute of angle groups. Wow. And Jarrett Rifles owns and operates Cowden Plantation, the South's premier deer hunting location. Check them out on the web at JarrettRifles.com. You will be impressed. Big Buck Bites is a uniquely formulated, nutritious food for growing big bucks and elk. Feed Big Buck Bites to your animals and you will see dramatic increases in body weight and antler scores. Vitamins and minerals are added to the calcium, alfalfa, and soybean base, ensuring that fawns grow rapidly and strong. Call 610-760-1367 for the Big Buck Bite story. Or check out their website at birchcreekdeerfarm.com. Dealer inquiries are welcome. The Friends of the Nevada Deer Herd is a new national organization dedicated to saving one of the most famous mule deer herds in the nation. Yes, it is a critical time for mule deer in Nevada. They are rapidly disappearing with each passing year, and so is the grand tradition of mule deer hunting. This trend can be reversed, but only if you are willing to help. Nevada Department of Wildlife has all but written mule deer off and is strategically replacing native mule deer with non-native elk. They must be stopped. Mountain lions are destroying the mule deer resource, and mountain lions must be aggressively controlled. This is an unprecedented fight. Never before has a major western hunting state allowed a native game animal to fade into history while replacing it with a non-native species. Visit Friends of the Nevada Deer Herd at their new home, huntersalert.org, and get involved. Tell Nevada's Department of Wildlife it is time to bring Nevada's mule deer herd back. Starting right now. For the latest in premium deer lures, scents, and calls, go visit moorswidowmaker.com. That's M-O-H-R-S widowmaker.com. There you will find a variety of buck lures, cover scents, and buck calls, all carefully crafted from all natural ingredients. You can also book an exotic hunt on an island in the middle of a river. That's moorswidowmaker.com, M-O-H-R-S widowmaker.com, for the best in deer lures, cover scents, and maybe the hunt of a lifetime. This is Jim Slinsky. So you say to yourself, you like this show with its great guests and great topics. Well, if you're a local business, you really should consider advertising with the Outdoor Talk Network. Just call the local radio station broadcasting this program and ask for their advertising rate. Talk radio is an incredibly powerful communication medium. Advertising on talk radio stations is the best buy in the advertising industry. Talk radio listeners are unique. They listen through the advertising breaks. They don't channel surf, and they are loyal. Advertise with a program that local listeners enjoy, and it will certainly benefit your business. When you compare ad rates for talk radio to print media, you will find talk radio a very cost-effective approach to growing your business. If your market is the nation, simply email me at advertising@outdoortalknetwork.com. Lastly, if you cater to outdoor enthusiasts, locally or nationally, it would only make sense to support this program so this program can continue to support you and your business.
The spirit of the woods is like an old good friend. Makes me feel warm and good inside. And I knew his name, and it was good to see him again.
All right, one of my favorite topics, musky fishing. I want to say my friend Don Miller's joined us, and I do know him from years back. He invited me to come fishing out there, and Lake St. Clair is his home water. And let me do a little correction, www.millers.sportfishing.com is his website. Go check it out. And I agree with Don. I think Lake St. Clair is probably one of the best musky fishing holes in the entire nation. And it's in all the magazines, and it's a proven winner, and it produces fish every year, and you can't seem to hold it down, can you, Don? It just produces.
No, I would venture to say, Jim, that Lake St. Clair on any given day will produce as many 50-inch fish as any other four bodies of water known around the contained muskies.
Okay.
You know, I mean, in all honesty, because it's not unusual to lay into something like that as a result of catch and release and putting things back in the gene pool. Right?
Sure. But
and letting it go.
You do have places like Rainy Lake and Lake of the Woods and the eastern bowl of the Lake Ontario, and of course Georgian Bay. You do have some other places around the country that are pretty famous. But I just get the feeling that Lake St. Clair, turns out a great number of fish with a reasonable effort. A lot of those well known places, you know, muskies are the fish of 10,000 casts.
Oh, there's no question. It doesn't have to be that hard on Lake St. Clair. Although I have to tell you, as a troller, which is what I do, I troll. You can swear some days when you go there isn't a fish in that lake, because there's a lot more to trolling than just flicking a line up behind a boat. Mm-hmm. And jerking it along a shoreline someplace and saying, I'm going to catch a fish today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of science behind it. You know, I mean, it's not just a bloody thing to do. I mean, and there's those in the musky fishing community to think that trolling is a dirty thing to do to the fish, because they're used to smaller bodies of water where muskies inhabit the water. But a lot of those people really don't have any idea about how big Lake St. Clair really is.
Right.
You know, to answer that question is, it's 260,000 acres of water that's between the St. Clair River and the Detroit River and flushes through.
Right.
And it has a complete turnover in it of every 4 to 5 days. So it's not a small body of water by no means. You can get in big trouble out there.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, with 640 acres in a square mile, you know, you got 260,000 acres. You know, I can't do the math fast enough. That's that's a lot of water. I mean,
it can be a problem.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
that's a lot of water. But don't worry about that trolling stuff. You know, there's also those fishermen who feel that if you don't catch a trout on a fly rod, you're a redneck, and if you don't catch a bass on a bait caster and a spinner bait, then you're a dope, and it just goes on and on. You will always have those people who try to make a pursuit of purity in anything they do, and I just don't get that one.
I don't either. Talk about it. I mean, I was in a different part of the country at a muskie show, and a guy came up and said that he saw I was a troller there, and And he told me that he had caught six fish, and I said, well, that's good. I said, do you fish more than one day?
Mm-hmm.
and he said, well, he said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, yeah, we catch that a lot in Lake St. Clair in a day's time.
Right.
You know, I said, he said, you trawlers are, you know, and I said, well, you know, okay, you know, you can go on, but it's not unusual. I mean, multiple fish days happen out there quite frequently, and it's to be expected when I go there, and, you know, I'm in the upwards of close to 400 to 500 muskies annually
mm-hmm.
on Lake St. Clair, which was unheard of close to 30 years ago.
Right.
You know?
Right. Can,
and,
like all fishing, though, can, like all fishing, can I say when they're hitting, they're hitting, you know, when the stars are lined up and everything else, they're hitting, and that's, and you have a good day. I mean, this happens with bass and trout and walleye. You just, if you go fishing often enough, you know, eventually you hit that day that you can't do anything wrong.
Oh, you just, I mean, that's true, Jim. That's not the rule, but I mean, there's, I'm going to be out there often enough to where I can go on out there and do anything on the back of my boat, and the fish are going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But there's some days when you have to line up things with types of baits, and you know, I do prefer to use the 8-inch jointed believer an awful lot. It's probably the most best all-around musky production bait going in that part of the country right there.
Okay.
And the standard colors are the best. I usually shy away from the psychedelic or tutti-frutti or exotic colored stuff that seem to catch a fisherman's wallet and not too many fish. But I got a pretty bland tackle box, if you were to really sum it up, because if you were to go and look at it, most of the stock I got in there is the stuff that any muskie would see in his everyday life in the water that he inhabits. I mean, there's smallmouth bass in there, there's perch, there's frogs, there's all this other stuff that they're used to seeing. And I tried to get one of the painters I know paint up some baits in the color of a bluegill for me.
Okay.
And he was arguing with me that there's no deep water bluegills.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, hey, Jeff, I said, them muskies are taking frog baits in August and September. How many deep water frogs do you see in August and September?
Right.
You know?
That is intriguing.
And he painted some up. But in theory, what I was going to get at there, Jim, is to say that these fish are used to hitting bluegills and frogs up in the shallower waters when they're in their spawning areas. And in order for them to feel comfortable with hitting that same type of thing out in the deeper water where your bigger crafts like I operate out of in June, July, August, September, and October, they're used to seeing that in April and May up in there where they're spawning. They'll come on out and see the same thing in the deeper water and say, well, I've had that before, so I want that again.
Right, right.
And, you know, so I wouldn't be afraid to, you know, I mean, to experiment with a couple of things like that, but to bottom line it out, I mean, I would stay off of a lot of stuff that I see that's just painted. I don't know what kind of cosmic stuff these painters have when they paint these baits, but some of them are really far-fetched for me to even break out my wallet and even think of the thought about buying some
right,
of stuff.
Right, right. Well, the old cliche, you know, flies are tied to catch fishermen and lures are manufactured to catch fishermen. I mean, they're, to a large degree, there's a lot of truth in that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
commenting on what you said before, you know, it still is a fish, as finicky as they are and so forth. You know what I mean? You know, their brain is about the size of a golf ball, and, you know, this concept of that they would come to realize that bluegills don't hang out in 20 feet of water or something, you know, that one's a stretch there, Don. I mean, they look at stuff, they're accustomed, this is what their food base looks like, and that's what they go after. But I almost blew out through the segment again. Let me start some music. Don Miller's his name. We're talking about muskie fishing, Lake St. Clair. Be right back. Now, don't touch that dial. You're listening to Jim Slinsky and the Outdoor Talk Network, the most unique talk show in the nation. We'll be right back.
This is Jim Slinsky. So you say to yourself you like this show with its great guests and great topics. Well, if you're a local business, you really should consider advertising with the Outdoor Talk Network. Just call the local radio station broadcasting this program and ask for their advertising rate. Talk radio is an incredibly powerful communication medium. Advertising on talk radio stations is the best buy in the advertising industry. Talk radio listeners are unique. They listen through the advertising breaks. They don't channel surf and they are loyal. Advertise with a program that local listeners enjoy, and it will certainly benefit your business. When you compare ad rates for talk radio to print media, you will find talk radio a very cost-effective approach to growing your business. If your market is the nation, simply email me at advertising@outdoortalknetwork.com. Lastly, if you cater to outdoor enthusiasts locally or nationally, it would only make sense to support this program so this program can continue to support you and your business. For the latest in premium deer lures, scents, and calls, go visit moorswidowmaker.com. That's M-O-H-R-S, widowmaker.com. There you will find a variety of buck lures, cover scents, and buck calls, all carefully crafted from all natural ingredients. You can also book an exotic hunt on an island in the middle of a river. That's moorswidowmaker.com, M-O-H-R-S, widowmaker.com, for the best in deer lures, cover scents, and maybe the hunt of a lifetime. The Friends of the Nevada Deer Herd is a new national organization dedicated to saving one of the most famous mule deer herds in the nation. Yes, it is a critical time for mule deer in Nevada. They are rapidly disappearing with each passing year, and so is the grand tradition of mule deer hunting. This trend can be reversed, but only if you are willing to help. Nevada Department of Wildlife has all but written mule deer off and is strategically replacing native mule deer with non-native elk. They must be stopped. Mountain lions are destroying the mule deer resource, and mountain lions must be aggressively controlled. This is an unprecedented fight. Never before has a major western hunting state allowed a native game animal to fade into history while replacing it with a non-native species. Visit Friends of the Nevada Deer Herd at their new home, huntersalert.org, and get involved. Tell Nevada's Department of Wildlife it is time to bring Nevada's mule deer herd back. Starting right now. Big Buck Bites is a uniquely formulated nutritious food for growing big bucks and elk. Feed Big Buck Bites to your animals and you will see dramatic increases in body weight and antler scores. Vitamins and minerals are added to the calcium, alfalfa, and soybean base, ensuring that fawns grow rapidly and strong. Call 610-760-1367 for the Big Buck Bite story. Or check out their website at birchcreekdeerfarm.com. Dealer inquiries are welcome. The nation's leading custom rifle manufacturer is without question Jarrett Rifles in Jackson, South Carolina. For 25 years, Kenny Jarrett has been producing the most accurate hunting rifles any man's money can buy. Jarrett manufactures the barrel, the action, and the stock. Jarrett Rifles are guaranteed to shoot 1/2 minute of angle groups. Wow. And Jarrett Rifles owns and operates Cowden Plantation, the South's premier deer hunting location. Check them out on the web at JarrettRifles.com. You will be impressed.
Here I go again on my own, going down the only road I've ever known. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone.
Jim Slinsky, Outdoor Talk Network. We are back. Our guest is Don Miller, calling him out in the Ann Arbor area of Michigan, talking about the famous Lake St. Clair, the great muskie fishing hole that's out there. Don's got a guiding business. He takes people out trolling for muskie, something a little bit different than usual. And we're kind of launching the fishing season with this show, www.millers, with an S, -sportsfishing.com is the place to go. 260,000 acres to roam around and have some fun. So, all right, Don, let me take you back, because you're trolling. That's different. I seem to remember reading that Lake St. Clair is not really a deep lake, though, is it?
No, it's not, Jim. The average depth of Lake St. Clair is only 15 feet deep, so it's very shallow.
Right, 15 feet.
You're going to find some 20-foot holes out there, and the deepest part in the lake is the dredged out shipping channel, which is roughly 32 to 35 feet deep through the lake.
Okay, but it does have a channel running down through it then.
Yes, it does. It's subject to international freighter traffic through the lake.
Okay, well that's tremendous structure, especially for these big fish. They got to have some place to go in the winter. Does the lake freeze?
The lake freezes over entirely.
Entirely. Do they use icebreakers to keep it open?
No, they don't. Freighter season is shut down here.
It is just completely shut down. Well,
it's shut down.
Yeah, at least the fish have a place to winter. They're not stuck with that 15-degree depth. They can sink down a little bit deeper and, I guess, find some more favorable temperatures is what they can do. So that's good news. Now, are you trolling the channel? Are you trolling the flats along the edge on a channel? Are you?
I like the flats along the edge of the channel a little bit more so than just in the channel, because in a lake as shallow as Lake St. Clair, you have to understand, and it's very clear, you know, water to be in. There's a lot of sunlight that penetrates to the bottom, which stimulates weed growth.
Good, okay.
So there's marginal weed troubles on a lot of days to factor out in there, but with the freighters coming through and churning everything up, it makes a lot of havoc for a troller to fish in the channel, even though that undoubtedly is a good piece of structure, and the fish relate with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to fish them out to get a bait through it, but off to the sides is a little bit better. Maybe lay back anywhere from a quarter mile to or more away from that, and work the sides of that channel when it goes through there is real good. And also got to remember that, and I've said for years in Lake St. Clair, that even though my vessel that I have is a 32-foot fiberglass boat by 10.5 foot with inboard power, I've always, in 19 different selections, to place rods around on the boat, and I never, Jim, fish with any more than 8 rods out in Lake St. Clair on any given day. And those people that would beg to differ with me and think that they're going to do massive damage to a fish and want to go out there and troll with 12 or 14 or whatever the legal limits of the law is that permits them to have on their boat and be fishing with are nothing more than fools, in my opinion, because with marginal weed problems, all you do is cycle the lines. You have to clear and reset your lines periodically on the boat to stay busy. You just can't set a line and tow it behind your boat. You have to check it and reset it and clean it. And when you're getting excessive lines, I've said it before, any clean 6 rods on my boat will beat any dirty 12 on another, you know?
Right.
And an honest, clean presentation usually beats dirty lines off another boat.
All right. Well, let me ask you, though, because you're saying the water's approximately 15 feet deep. How far up do the weeds come? Are you trolling in 10 feet of water? Are you trolling with your lines 10 feet down because the first 5 feet are weeds?
No. Typically, Jim, it pushes a lot of weed mats around in the lake from day to day because of the shallow content of the lake. With the wind being out of the south, it may push the weeds over to the north or northwest shoreline, and when the wind comes out of the north or northwest, it's going to push it to the opposite shoreline. So you're always going to want to fish to the lee shore. But as a rule of thumb, whenever you go fishing in Lake St. Clair, you never want to fish any deeper than 50% of the water column that you're fishing in.
All right. So.
And sometimes, that would be the deepest. And a lot of times, I'm up in the top 2 or 3 feet of water, and sometimes flat on top with the body bait, you know, up there. You have to understand that there are two basic things that muskies live by and are survivors by, which is their sight feeder and their lateral perception that they have, which is the fish's ability to feel vibrations in the distance from those little pinholes around the gill plate and underneath the chin.
Okay.
Aren't air holes at all. That's the fish's ability. It's like a cat's whisker to feel vibrations and things in the distance that they know that are littler than them.
Okay.
But their predominant first primary sense of survival is by sight, so they're sight feeders. So if I was fishing in a 16-foot water column, I'll give you a hypothetical example, and I had targets 12 feet below the boat, strategically, I wouldn't want to be down 12 feet for that fish to see my bait.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to position my bait over that fish's head and have it down there about 8 feet.
Okay.
And I ask a lot of people, well, how far does that fish got to move to get the bait now?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, well, that's accurate, but let's talk about it another. Let's say that fish has to move one body length to get it.
Okay.
And now, you know, also these fish can recoil and strike at a speed of 20 to 40 miles an hour. So if they're using sight and you're in clean water, don't you think that fish can see that bait 4 feet over his head?
Oh, sure.
I bet he can.
I bet you can. See. I bet you. You're telling me the lake is very clear. I wouldn't be surprised they could see 20 feet to the sides, too.
You know, well, there's times, yeah, you can. I mean, there's times when the water just looks gin clear in some places. I mean, just absolutely gin clear. You can look right down through with your polarized glasses and see the sandy bottom in a lot of places.
Okay.
You know, that's there. So, but, you know, when you're fishing in clean water, there's a couple factors to think about. You're trying to dupe a fish that's pretty smart, and he didn't bite everything. It was just manufactured to catch him.
Okay.
You know? And so what I do is my speed of trolling is always relative to the color of the water that I'm in at the time seeking to catch the fish. I may downsize my bait a little bit, go to like a 6-inch model believer, and speed up a little bit more to like, instead of 4.5 to 5 miles an hour, I may want to go to 5.5 to 6 miles an hour just to project more of an image at the fish and not let him see my bait too good.
Right. Well, that's the old cliche. Don't give them too long a look, you know, because they figure out it's fake. But
I want to draw a reaction strike.
Okay. Yeah. I've been dying to ask you because, you know, you can't watch TV these days without seeing, you know, all this stuff about the swim baits. The swim baits are big, you know, from anything from, you know, from the multiple jointed bodies to hard heads and soft bodies and all soft bodies. I mean, the whole industry, at least the bass industry and so forth, it's just going crazy with swim baits. I mean, some of them are 8 and 10 inches long. Have you tried any of these, Don?
The 8-inch models I like on Everyday Factor, which is the 8-inch believer jointed model and the straight model. It depends if the fish likes a wiggle or if it likes a wobble. The straight baits will wobble.
Mm-hmm.
The jointed baits are very good and can stand up, and some of the believers that I have that I've been fishing with will last for me for the hours that I spend isn't going to be anything like any novice would. But, you know, 5-6 years out of a bait is not uncommon for me to have it with the 8-inch jointed. And then there's guys that buy the Bulldogs and they go down into the Detroit River and they jig in some places, but I'm not going to market the Detroit River that much. That's a different ball game down in there with those guys that do that. I mean, they have some success with it. I mean, it's out there. And then the spinner baits have been working real good on Lake St. Clair. If guys like bucktail spinners, I mean, those things have been taken off, and I'm not afraid. I've got a good selection of bucktail blades to put out the back and pull along, you know, and
you're basically talking about an inline spinner, just a straight spinner.
Right, just a straight spinner, straight inline spinner.
Yeah.
and put it out there, and it's on a flat, calm day, and put it up there a little bit high off of the planer boards. I use planer boards, and I have the double ski kind. I make my own out of redwood, and they're probably about 8 inches high and about 30 inches long, and I have offset them with a 45-degree cut on the nose and put some bars on them, and I tow them along, and they stand up pretty good. And the type of releases that I like to use are the offshore heavy-duty downrigger type releases, the heavy tension type things, and I clip the line inside of that, slide it out toward the planer board, and let the line out the back, and away we go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, interesting. Interesting, then, Double, you're spreading the lines. You're spreading the lines. But you do have the planer boards on outriggers?
I've attached them to the boat with a planer board reel.
Okay.
And I know a lot of guys, you're going to laugh about this, but a lot of guys like to use that Dacron woven line. And I don't recommend the use of that because the stuff dry rots, and it's very expensive to buy, you know?
Okay.
And what I use is weed whacker line. It's weather resistant, doesn't stretch out, it won't break, you know. And I use a good set of Larnard like catches on a dog leash to tie on with, and I just clip that down to the O-ring or on my board and pull it along.
Okay. Let's leave it there. Don Miller's his name, Musky Fisherman Extraordinaire. We'll be back. Just gotta pay some bills. See you in a few.
Legacy Sports International now brings you quality rifle scopes at affordable prices. Nico Sterling, the most popular rifle scopes in Australia, are now available in America exclusively by Legacy Sports International. At the top of their line are their Diamond Hunting and Diamond Sportsman series, featuring first-quality Japanese multi-coated lenses sealed in a one-piece aircraft aluminum tube. And how about their Night Eater series, awarded 2007 Optic of the Year by Shooting Illustrated magazine. The Night Eater offers adjustable parallax settings from 10 yards to infinity on most models and comes in 1-inch and 30-millimeter tubes. Night Eaters also offer Japanese-coated lenses that are great in low-light conditions. All Nico Sterling rifle scopes are immersion and shock-tested and nitrogen-filled at the factory to eliminate fogging. All come with a lifetime warranty. Visit LegacySports.com and pick out your Nico Sterling rifle scope today. There is a company in Texas quietly building premium performance firearms for competition, duty, and self-defense, STI International. Creating firearms at the highest level, STI builds 15 different single-stack pistols based on the famous 1911 45 semi-auto. These are quality, innovative pistols with patented features made entirely in the USA. And STI continues the evolution of the 1911 with 13 additional double-stack pistols, appropriately named the 2011 double-stack. These are tactical, target, and concealed carry firearms built on a patented modular steel frame. And new for this year is their GP6, a single and double-action polymer compact in 9mm Luger. Check out their website at STIGuns.com for a full appreciation of their unique product line. STI International, building firearms at the highest level. You would think after 90 years of optical excellence, Nikon would rest on their achievements. Not a chance. For 2008, Nikon continues their toughest, most innovative, and highly refined optical gear ever, with something for every hunter and every hunting style. Take the completely redesigned Monarch rifle scope with its advanced iBox technology, delivering an impressive 4x zoom range and a constant 4 inches of eye relief. Nikon's Omega 250 BDC bullet drop compensating muzzle-loading scopes have been so successful, this year Nikon introduced the Slughunter BDC 200, destined to become another classic. With laser rangefinders, titanium scopes, handgun scopes, Buckmaster and Pro Staff scopes, 16 different binocular lines, and premium spotting scopes, you can see why Nikon has something for every hunter and every hunting style. Check out a Nikon rifle scope today and see why experienced hunters choose Nikon.
I was 21. It was a very good year.
All right, we are back. Don Miller's my guest, and calling him in the Ann Arbor area of Michigan. He's well known. He's a troller for muskies in the famous Lake Sinclair. I mean, just one of our tremendous fishing bowls there out in eastern Michigan. And I want you to check Don's site out, www.millers.sportfishing.com. And if you've got a hankering to catch a muskie, 260,000 acre Lake St. Clair is just about as good a place as anybody, anywhere in the continental United States to do so. And, Don, you know, let me take you. There's just all kinds of thoughts running through my mind here. A couple of things I want to ask you about, and I want to take you back to earlier in the show. We talked about it. There just seems to be days when they're biting, and I'm sure when you're on the lake as often as you're on the lake, I'm sure you have those days where it's just Deadsville. You can't buy a fish, and then you have those days where, you know, you can't do anything wrong. They're hitting everything, and I want you to elaborate on that. And
well, the thing I think you have to think about when you're going muskie fishing, Jim, is that little muskies aren't any more dumb than a great big one is, because if they were, you'd catch a little one all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you the amount of times when I've caught a small hammer handle that's like 30 to 35 inches big, and everybody laughed and said, look, it's a St. Clair monster, and they were novices coming down to visit the charter that day that they really didn't know, but I kept working in the same area, And before that, within the next 10, 15 minutes when things were opening up on me, I had a supersizer on there with 53, 54 inches long, and then they had a problem.
Right.
You know? Muskies aren't the type of fish that's going to bite all day long, regardless of what the circumstances are. There's windows when they want it, they want it. And then when they're through with it, they're through with it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's how they get to be so big. And an old man told me a long time ago, you never leave fish to go find fish. If a good charter's working in an area, and he's got targets below that boat, and he knows the things are there, you're better off to stay there and give him some time and fish for the things rather than go to trade your bird in hand for two in the bush down the lake someplace else unbeknown to you at the time.
Right, right. But, no, it makes perfectly good sense to me. But the only thing is you keep using that expression, hammer handles. I've heard that expression used in pike fishing. You know, I call it a hammer handle because literally you catch 10-inch, 12-inch pike, that's a hammer handle. But something that's 30 to 32 inches, Don, that's more like an axe handle, not a hammer handle.
I call them hammer handles to me.
Yeah, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just having some fun with it. You know, 30 to 32 inches is an axe handle. That's not a bad fish for a lot of people. But
you know, Jim, with the quality of fishing that I've seen go up, it wasn't so long ago that a 40-pound fish was unheard of in Lake St. Clair. And we're starting to see those things happen every season out there now.
Wow.
In spite of the pressure that's put on things.
Wow.
The catch and release is paying off. And I've had a lot of outdoor riders visit the charter, and many have asked me, how close do you think Lake St. Clair is to setting a new world record or a new state record? And I said, just one strike away.
Right. Makes sense.
It's just one strike.
Right.
I said, I'll be honest with you, Jim. I've had fish on, and I've seen them beat up some grown men so badly on the back of the boat that they wish that they never hooked up with the things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And they couldn't handle them, and I can't take the rod away from the customer, you know? And it's just been, and they knew they had fish, you know, there's no question, because they could feel they had yanks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't handle it, you know?
Well,
but anyway, the types of tackle that I have, that I use, that I like to use out there, are Daiwa 47SH sea lines.
Okay.
And I like the old traditional pen reels. Pen 309 is what I use, and I get my drags custom built. But the stock over-the-counter kind will work fine for any novice. And more trophy fish have been caught on pen reels than any other kind of reel manufactured in the world. You can't argue with their success. And I usually like to use Trilene Big Game line and on each of those of about 40-pound test line. And I use 100-pound test Big Game leader material. And my cross locks that I use are 150 to 175-pound cross locks with the ball bearing snap swivels. Not the kind you press in, but with the ball bearings on them.
Okay.
And it's the inline method of trolling with with either little balls, anywhere from a 2-ounce ball to a 20-ounce ball, or an inline cigar type sinker with a brass O-ring at each end, anywhere from 2 ounces on that to a 20-ounce cigar type sinker with the brass O-rings on each end.
All right.
Go ahead, Jim.
If you're up to that much weight, though, then you probably have a pretty stiff rod as well.
Yeah, the types of rods that I have are, the rod makers have custom built my own fishing rods, but you can get the Tiger. I like over-the-counter stuff, too, that I've seen on the marketplace and at the shows, is those Tiger ugly sticks with the medium-heavy action are very excellent, and the backbone on those glass rods are excellent with the medium-heavy action. You don't need to go super duper Q-stick size type of things because you want something that's going to hold your fish a little bit and have a good enough reel and some line on it to where, you know, you can get the fish into the boat and not using a downrigger 10-foot noodle rod with 20-pound test line and overplaying your fish in the water too much to where there's no life at all left in it when it comes to the deck of your boat and not being able to release it. Therefore, suffered a loss on your boat that day.
Right. Well, you those types of rods, those the lighter action rods, the lighter test, you know, you have line stretch, you can't set the hook as well. I mean, muskies are known for their bony mouths, and you got to give them a pretty good hook set. That would really be a step in the wrong direction, Don, going down that light stuff.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean?
Going to the light stuff is not going to be the answer to go in.
Well, you probably can get away with that. Maybe like the inline spinners, you know, commonly called bucktails, you know, you might be able to get away with it because you don't have the water resistance with that type of
right.
You know, but some of these swimming baits and some of these jointed baits and those wobble baits, there's a lot of resistance, you know, a lot of water resistance.
That's true. Now, as far as the trolling spread and setup, I usually like to keep out my planer boards out anywhere from 30 to 40 feet away from the boat. I don't go, never more than 50 is a rule, but, you know, 30 to 40 is the standard. And I like to put a couple of lines out on each side of the planer board and anywhere from 2 to 4 lines on my boat itself. But the two particular rods that people seem to be amazed about more than anything else are the prop wash rods.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the pioneers of the prop wash method of fishing was the late, great Homer LeBlanc, and he was Michigan's only inductee into the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame up until recently when a couple of others have went in. But I was at Homer's house for 14 years and 10 years before he passed away and had the opportunity to pick his brain over on a lot of things out on that lake before he expired and went to the Happy Fishing Grounds.
Right.
But I can tell you right now, you're not fishing if you don't have a couple of rods propped on each side of that boat with about a 16-ounce ball to a 20-ounce ball hanging down with about 5 feet of line, no further than the length of the leader, about 5 feet to 6 feet behind the boat, right in the boat's churning prop wash, because muskies are attracted to that. And you have to picture them as an opportunist because they don't swim around the lake at 20 to 40 miles an hour cruising around looking for something to eat. They're like a lazy bum that wants to capitalize on something that's easy for them to catch. And when that boat goes by and they see those floundering 8-inch jointed baits right there rocking around on each side of the boat's prop wash, why, no muskie in his right mind will let anything like that get away from it.
Well, you know, it kind of concerns me what you're telling me because, you know, alligators are known to be drawn to people swimming in the water, too, you know, kicking their legs and their arms and making ear bubbles and prop washes and so forth. Alligators have that same sort of instincts. That draws alligators when you're hanging off the back of a boat.
Yeah, well, you got to watch out. You know, you're playing with a stick of dynamite back there.
Right.
But you have to understand on muskies and predators and how they hunt. And Homer used to tell me, if you're going to catch muskies, you have to think like a muskie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I used to think that was just a joke, but that's really true. Because if you were to picture yourself inside the fish kingdom, I used to cast, okay? And I don't know, when I was 12, 13, 14, I used to throw a line on out there, and I'd get a follow, and I would slow up to let the fish have it. And he would lose interest right now and turn off. And I would wonder, what am I doing wrong here? What am I doing wrong here, you know? And you know, it took me a while to figure it out and understand that what I should have actually done was, once I knew I had that fish's interest, was speed up. Because
right.
What's the natural reaction for a little fish to do when he realizes that the jaws of death are following him? He is to either give it up and die. The fish is going to lose interest because he thinks now it's fake, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But once you have his interest, if you would have speeded it up, you know, sped up the bait.
Right.
That's a natural reaction for a small fish to do in the fish kingdom, then the muskie's going to think that it's real, it knows I'm here, so I got to bite it.
Right.
And that was the thing that took me forever to understand on muskie fishing, but it took a while, but I factored it out and got it together, but there wasn't anybody there to teach me that one. I had to figure that one out on my own, you know?
Right.
And here I am telling everybody on your radio show, now they're going to be smarter than me.
Okay. www.millers-sportfishing.com. I mean, I'm sure you got bookings open. Don, season didn't even start yet. They should give you a call. Go to the site, give you a call, book a trip, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time and all the knowledge you put forth. You were just terrific, Don. Best of luck in every way.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening. Once again, I'll dedicate the show to my father, as I always do. God bless him. His hunting and fishing plans always included me. Hey, see you then.